a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
All right, let's go ahead and bring Senate State Affairs to order. Welcome to everyone here today and to our internet listeners. Please get your phones in a silent or vibrate mode. Pages, why don't you come up and introduce yourself, both of you, and tell us where you're going to school and where you'd like to go to school.
I am Katie Winkler. I'm from Scotland, and I am undecided as to what college, but I would like to go for secondary education in English as well as a minor in biology.
Excellent. Welcome.
I'm Claire Duder from Rapid City Stevens, and I'm going to SDSU to major in global studies.
Well, that's unfortunate, but that's okay. Thank you, though. All right. Thanks, ladies, for helping out this couple of weeks. If you do have any handouts, the pages will hand them out. Are there any other personal privileges of the committee? With that, Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holine, Hunhoff, Lederman, Otten, Soholt, Solano, Sutton, Brown, Brave.
Here. We have a quorum present. All right. All right. Just for the good of the group today, we are going to defer Senator Teason's bills, 112, Senate Bill 112, till next week at some point. He had some amendments that he wanted to work on. So we're not going to take up Senate Bill 112 today. That brings us to the top of our calendar. We'll open proponent testimony on House Bill 1051. Are there any proponents? 1051. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brett Aftel. I'm the director of the Division of Banking. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 1051. This bill is the annual work product of the Governor's Trust Task Force. And just a little background on the task force. It's a group that was originally created by Governor Janklow. It's been in operation since. It's a group of 20 people, government, industry, regulator, myself included. It gets together, does some technical work in both the trust company chapter, but also in Title 55, which deals with trust law in South Dakota. And I know you have a full calendar today, so we'll be brief, but the first eight sections of the bill deal with the trust company specific area, and I would just like to highlight a couple of those, and then there is another proponent that will handle the balance of the bill, the technical issues in Title 55. Section 5 deals with a pledging issue. Each trust company pledges to the Division of Banking an amount of cash that they pledge in case something goes wrong, and that cash can be invested in various types of instruments. And what Section 5 does is it allows one more option for them. So in addition to government agent or federal government agency securities, certificates of deposits, this would allow them to also invest in South Dakota municipal bonds, housing authority bonds, those type of instruments. Section 7 modifies a section that allows us as a regulator to share certain information with regulatory counterparts if they need that information. In particular, it's dealing with enforcement action type things. So right now what's in statute is if we take an action against a company, we can share that information with another state counterpart if that company operates in that other state. What the amendment or what the language in Section 7 would do would allow that same flexibility if we take an action against an individual. So if we take an action to prohibit somebody from the industry, the commission affirms that decision, we could then share that information. Generally, that's going to become public at some point anyway, but just to make that section more clear. And then Section 8 brings over a parallel statute from the bank side to make it clear that the charter we issue a trust company is not a separate asset of the trust company. It's simply the grant of authority to operate as a trust company to carry out a specific business plan. So all it says is if they sell all the assets of the company, they have 30 days from that point to take action to dissolve that charter. So that some states have kind of a shelf charter process where you can basically buy a charter from an existing company and then go into business yourself. But we have a pretty efficient application process. So if anybody wants to establish a trust company. We have a very established process to handle that. So those are the eight sections that deal with the trust company space. There is another proponent, and I will certainly stand by for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Are there any further proponents on House Bill 1051? Further proponents? Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'm my annual trip to Pierre is right. I'm Pat Getzinger. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Gunderson, Palmer, Nelson, and Ashmore in Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm a member of the Governor's Trust Task Force. It's been my pleasure to serve since its inception in 1997. I also want to acknowledge another Trust Task Force member is here with me, Terry Prendergast, an attorney from Sioux Falls, to make sure what I say is right. Just a little bit more detail on the activities of the Trust Task Force and what's occurring in the trust industry to fuel your information about viewing this bill relates to the fact that South Dakota enjoys the status of being the number one trust jurisdiction in the country, being perennially ranked in the top tier of trust jurisdictions. In other words, places where it is the best place to form a trust company and the best place to bring a trust for a family to manage their affairs. So annually we continue to enjoy that status as being among the best states in the nation. And evidence of that came forward as a result of activity that I was able to witness down in Orlando, Florida with the Heckerling Institute. And the Heckerling Institute is the premier estate planning seminar presentation that's a week-long deal that occurs in Orlando every year. And this year we were privileged to host the third annual South Dakota Advantage Reception. And in the past 3 years, we were able to host a reception to trumpet the virtues of South Dakota as a place to form a trust or to bring a trust company. And the momentum for this reception has grown over each of the last 3 years. The first year, it started out with only 50 people in attendance. Last year, over 100. This year, over 160 people were in attendance at that reception to hear about South Dakota and look at South Dakota as a place to do business. The number of trust companies that have called South Dakota home continues to grow annually as well, as do the assets under management in those trust companies in South Dakota. So what this trust task force, what this legislature, what this legislation is doing is making a difference in growing the trust industry in South Dakota. While the things that we bring before you in the form of this legislation seem to be very minor and fall into the category of minutia, when you roll it all together and tell the story of South Dakota as the place to form a trust company or to bring a trust, it results in a very big story to tell to those potential folks that want to utilize South Dakota law for their planning. My role is to take you through some of the substantive provisions that relate to the trust laws from a practitioner's standpoint, and those provisions start at Section 9. And just by way of summary, Section 9 through 14 are merely cleanup, form and style, just making things clear. Wouldn't regard anything as substantive being changed in those sections. Section 15 is a express authorization of inclusion of arbitration provisions in a trust document, and this section provides the basis for bringing arbitration provisions into a trust document. Section 16 is just more clarification. 17 is another clarification provision regarding the power of a trust protector. Section 18 has a substantive change regarding the termination of a non-charitable trust dollar amount from the previous number of $50,000 to the sum of $150,000. So in other words, if a non-charitable trust has less than $150,000, a trustee can come forward and use that as a basis for terminating the trust as non-economical. And I would note that the court would have the final say in whether or not it's appropriate to terminate a trust. So the dollar amount just sets the threshold. The court would have the ultimate determination in terminating that trust. Section 19 and 20 is a modification to our domestic asset protection trust statutes. And again, South Dakota enjoys the status as the number one asset protection jurisdiction in the country, and domestic asset protection trust is part of the story that results in that number one ranking. And this change allows families to utilize LLCs and business entities to form a domestic asset protection trust so that if a family chooses to do its business through that type of an entity, that entity can also form a domestic asset protection trust. Section 21 through 27 are procedural changes to the chapter of our code that deals with court supervision of trusts. So if we run into a circumstance where we require court supervision over a trust for either a trust modification, a reformation, a decanting, a dispute, whatever it might be, we have SDCL Chapter 21-22 that guides the court and the parties to address that supervision of that trust. And the work product of Sections 21 through 27 came about as a result of about 2 years of effort on the part of practitioners and trust office representatives coming together, reflecting on their experience and saying, how can we make this statute more efficient and effective to guide the court and the parties on court supervision matters? So those sections reflect that work product. I do want to acknowledge that Dave Lust has been our chair for the past 4 years, he succeeded David Knutson and Governor Dugard as co-chairs of the Trust Task Force. Our new chair of the Trust Task Force is Representative Mark Mickelson. He would ordinarily be here to help support this bill, but he's got duties over in the House Judiciary that call him away from this committee. So I'm happy to address any questions that you may have regarding the task force, the work of the task force, or this legislation, and ask for your support of the legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents? Any further proponents? Okay. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1051? Are there any opponents? Last call for opponents. Seeing none, Pat, you may just want to stay there. Are there any questions of the committee? Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be for Mr. Getzinger. Just in, could you just talk me through Section 18, the part about moving that threshold for dissolving of the non-charitable trust, the 50 to 150? You know, I understood the part about how that trust may not be functioning well anymore, and that the
it may not be economical.
Of administrating and economical. Yeah. It just seems like a leap of the 100,000. Is that what the administration costs have come to, or can you kind of, or are you just putting a number on it so that you don't have to change statute moving forward?
Mr. Chair, yes, Senator Soholt. The discussion in the task force was to move that number to a more significant number to give more flexibility to the trustee administering trusts of those size. The trust administration costs can be a cost prohibitive factor on a trust of that size, and if you have an institutional trustee, it may signal that institutional trustee to go back to the grantor, to the beneficiaries, and point out to them that it may not be economical to continue this trust. It might be appropriate either to search for a new trustee, or if that's not appropriate or the case, then give us the opportunity to terminate it without having to go through extraordinary measures to do so. If there's a reason not to terminate it, the parties can ask a judge to intervene and say, we don't need to terminate it, but then it gives that trustee the opportunity to find a substitute trustee and to get out from underneath that responsibility. So it's a combination of factors, economics being one of the chief ones, and also to catch up to the times with regard to the values that we see and the costs associated with administering these trusts.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? All right. Seeing none, we'll close committee questions and open for committee discussion and or action. Senator Lederman.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass.
Second. Motion to pass by Lederman, second by Holeen. Comments on that motion? Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to take a minute to thank the group that meets every year, keeps our laws up to date so that we're competitive, and I appreciate all the work that's gone into this and every year. And I would hope that the committee can support this motion with a yay vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments on the Lederman motion? Seeing none, I would also echo those remarks. I thank both you gentlemen for coming out today, and I appreciate the work you do. Bless you, because I wouldn't want to do it. So, and I guarantee you wouldn't want me doing it either. So you have made us a shining example in the nation for a place, a good place to do trust business, and appreciate the hard work. So thank you very much. With that, we have the Lederman motion do pass before us. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton excused. Brown.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye. Motion carries. Do pass. 1051 goes to the floor with do pass motion. Senator Soholt, would you mind just taking that on the floor and giving it a pitch?
Sure.
Thank you. Would you make sure she gets some talking points? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right. With that, we'll move on to Senate Bill 49. Are there any proponents? I'm sorry. Before we do that, I'm getting a look by my secretary. The minutes were distributed to you prior. I would take a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Brown. Do pass. Second by Solano. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Proponents on Senate Bill 49, and now the secretary will stop looking at me.
Good morning, Mr.
Good morning.
Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tony Life. I'm director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. I'm here this morning to ask for your favorable support of Senate Bill 49, which would authorize the department to sell a portion of railroad right-of-way to the city of Deadwood. You know, it was through a recent title search that it was discovered that the department owns three small lots that total 0.15 acres within the city limits of Deadwood. Page is handing out an aerial photo that depicts the location of those three lots. Actually, that larger piece is two separate lots that are immediately adjacent to each other. But again, all those three lots together total 0.15 acres. We acquired these properties back in 1985 from the Department of Transportation. They were part of a larger tract of an abandoned railroad right-of-way along Whitewood Creek. They currently consist of curb and gutter, sidewalk, parking lot, and we even have a statue of Wild Bill Hickok on one of those pieces there. The City of Deadwood has expressed an interest in acquiring these properties, and I'll let the mayor tell you a little bit more about what their interest is in those properties when he comes up here after me. But obviously these properties are of little value to the department in meeting our mission, so we therefore bring you this bill for your consideration. So why is a bill necessary? We need this bill because state law, particularly 41-2-29.1, provides that Game, Fish, and Parks can only dispose of property through a public auction. There are other stipulations within that statute, but one of them being that it has to be by public auction. So essentially this legislation allows an exemption to the statutory requirement under the conditions specified in the bill. This is actually the third time I've sat in front of this committee and pitched a bill like this. Back in 2009 and 2012, similar bills were brought forward and passed into by the legislature. The one in 2009 was to transfer a portion of the property that we own next to Cleghorn Hatchery to the city of Rapid City. And then in 2012, House Bill 1020 granted the department the ability to sell a portion of a game production area adjacent to the city of Sturgis. So Senate Bill 49 is modeled after those two pieces of legislation. And if this legislation does pass, we would proceed with getting an appraisal of that property and working with the city of Deadwood to sell those lots to the city. And I'd ask for your favorable support of Senate Bill 49. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, sir. Are you, you're not selling the mayor's house in this, are you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Are there further proponents? Good morning, Mayor Turbeville.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's good to be back here. I'm going to be very brief because the Game, Fish, and Parks has already told you the main reason for this bill, and I'm here on behalf of the City of Deadwood in complete support of Senate Bill 49. The page is handing out another map, and if you will take a look at that, you will see at the top of the map a small red square at the end of a building. For those of you that are familiar with Deadwood, that is the north end of Four Aces Casino. The Game Fish and property is currently under a 6-inch slab upon which sits a Bill Hickok memorial. If you look down below, you will see a larger square that is at the entrance to our lower main parking lot. And we currently are planning to do a trolley turnaround and a brand new information center in that general location. So it's imperative that we have control of the property. It's here again. I want to thank the Game Fish and Parks for all the work that they've done and the fact that they have agreed to present this bill to you. So I would urge your support and ask for your consent.
Thank you, Mayor. It does look like some prime hunting ground, especially on the north end of the Four Aces there.
I'll certainly be available for any questions.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any further proponents on Senate Bill 49? Further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 49? Any opponents? Last call. Seeing none, we'll move to committee questions. Questions of the committee. All right. We'll move to committee discussion and or action. Senator Brown.
Move to pass.
Second.
Motion to pass by Brown, second by Holeen. Comments on that motion, Senator Brown?
I think it's fairly straightforward. It's a curse from time to time, and I think this seems like the right answer.
Any further comments? Agreed. Appreciate you going through the mechanics of this, gentleman. It's kind of a tedious process for a very small parcel of land, but appreciate the thoughtfulness in the background. So with that, we have a motion to pass by Brown, second by Holeen in front of us. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Oh.
Is he not there? Thank you. Sutton. Excused. Brown. Rave.
Aye. Motion having received a majority of vote, members present, is passed. I will not take consent on this bill, and I'll let Senator Solano speak to it on the floor. So somebody remind me to tell him that when he comes back. Oh, we could do that, too. All right. With that, brings us to Senate Bill 113. 113 on today's agenda. Any proponents? 113. Thanks, Mayor. See you later.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 113 is what I kind of consider a cleanup bill. When we passed the criminal justice reform, Senate Bill 70, 2 years ago, one of the provisions in there was that any time a bill or a proposal came before the legislature that could potentially impact the population of our prisons, there was to be a statement attached to that bill that would try to estimate what effect or what cost we thought that would have. As we tried to implement that procedure last year, it certainly caused a little bit of chaos as we tried to work through the mechanics of how that would work. And having had a year to go through that, essentially I think there's a little bit of a tweak that can help clarify and streamline this process. Essentially, if you read Senate Bill 70 in its original form, what it said was that the Speaker or the pro tem in the Senate was really essentially not allowed to assign a bill to a committee. Basically, we could not assign the bill until one of those prison impact statements were attached if it was required on that bill. You know, at this point in session, that really is not necessarily a huge thing, but as we started to get closer to crossover day, if you see how our system works, from the time that I would assign a bill in session, it's going to take a day to get it to the committee, and then the committee chair's got to turn around and find a time to turn around and calendar that and schedule that. So realistically, there's probably a 3 to 4 day turnaround from the time that I would assign a bill to you, the point where you could actually have a public hearing on the bill. At this point in session, that's not a huge deal, but as we start to get closer to crossover day, and we experienced this a little bit with some of the bills that we had last year, it took a while to generate those prison impact statements. And so what this will do is just say that we can go ahead and assign the bill to a committee, but the chair cannot hold a hearing until the prison impact statement is completed. And I think that will help alleviate a little bit of pressure as we get closer to crossover day, which is where this would really come into play. I would hope that I could get your support, and if you have any questions, I'll stand by for those.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Further proponents, Senate Bill 113, any further proponents? Last call for proponents. Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 113? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll move to questions of the committee. Are there any questions of the committee for Senator Brown? Seeing none, we'll move to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lederman.
I move do pass.
Second.
Motion do pass by Lederman, second by Holeen. Comments on that motion, Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that this is a common sense solution to a problem that we had last year, and I'm glad that we're addressing it so that we can have the legislature run a little more smooth. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Right. Seeing none, motion before us is the Lederman motion to pass. Senate Bill 113. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano excused. Yep. Sutton excused. Brown.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Carries.
Motion carries. Senator Brown.
I move consent.
Second. All those in favor of consent signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Senate Bill 113 goes to the floor on the consent calendar. Well, that would be Senator Brown and Senator Holeen Lederman. All right. With that, we are down to Senate Bill 84. Any proponents for Senate Bill 84?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Otten.
Senate Bill 84 is a sister bill to the identical House version that has just passed over. So at this time, there is no need for Senate Bill 84, and I would ask you to table it.
Thank you, Senator. In deference to the Senator, I would move straight to motions. Is there a motion? Senator Holeen.
I move to table.
Second. Motion to table by Holeen, second by Brown. That is a non-debatable motion. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano excused. Shall we wait for Senator Sutton?
Well, we can wait for Senator Sutton since we've held up the whole day for him. It's a motion to table Senator Sutton in front of us on Senate Bill 84, which was the authority of delegates to an Article 5 convention.
Motion to table?
Yes.
Aye.
Senator Brown.
Aye.
Senator Rave.
Aye.
Passes.
Motion carries. The bill is so tabled. Now we fooled Senator Sutton, and that was actually a do pass motion.
Thank you for
your nice job, Sutton. We will move to SGR1, open testimony on SGR1. Are there any proponents? Senator Otten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this here is a sister bill that has already been passed to the House to us, and at this time I'd ask you to table.
Again, in deference to the prime sponsor of the bill, I'll move straight to motions of the committee. Are there any motions? Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to table SJR 1.
Second.
Motion tabled by Holeen, second by Lederman. Again, non-debatable motion. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano excused. Sutton.
Sutton.
Senator Sutton.
Sorry. Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye. Motion carries. The bill is so tabled. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of today's calendar. Anything for the good of the committee? We'll have a full Wednesday. We are doing, what are we doing on Wednesday, Teresa? Wednesday is, gambling day and municipal tax day. So we're going to have a full Wednesday. We just have those two bills, but I suspect they'll take up the entire time and probably then some. With that, any other business for the good of the committee? Seeing none, I'll take a motion to adjourn. Moved by Holeen, second by Soholt. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.